Okay, if you'll open up your bulletins and take out your notes, we're going to talk about the power of God's Word. And before we get started, if you would join me in my favorite two-line prayer to ask God's blessing on this time. Ready? Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Father, take my life. Oh, you have to repeat. I'm sorry. I didn't. Let's try it again. Ready? Repeat after me. Father, speak to my heart and change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, very good. Remember next time. Well, coming home from work one day, a woman stopped by the corner butcher store to pick up a chicken for dinner. And this was a while back when they actually had butcher shops. And this was a very old school style butcher shop where the butcher actually kept his fresh chickens in a heavy bucket behind the counter, immersed in a big basin of ice. So the woman came in and asked for a chicken, and the butcher reaches into the barrel and grabs his last chicken. He picks it up, puts it on the scale, and tells the woman the weight. And the woman thinks for a moment and goes, "I really need a bit more chicken than that." Without a word, the butcher takes the chicken off the scale, puts it back in the barrel, gropes around as though finding another chicken, grabs the same last chicken, puts it back on the scale with a little extra thumb pressure, and he says, "Oh, this one weighs a pound and a half more." The woman goes, "Oh, great, I'll take it." And the butcher smiles to himself, and he goes, "You still got it, you sly dog." And then the woman goes, no, wait just a second. You know what? I'll take them both." You are so busted, dude, you know? What a liar, what a scam, what a ripoff, you know? But that's not just a story. That kind of thing actually happens, doesn't it? There are people out there who don't care about what's honest and what's true and what's right, and their only goal is through lies and deception to get what they want from you, to steal from you, to use you for their purposes. And speaking of that, you know, I must get 3 or 4 emails a month to my work address saying, "Mr. Smith, your bank account has just been frozen. Please respond to this email and confirm your personal information so that we can unfreeze your account." Well, you know what happens if you actually answer those emails and give them your personal information? Your identity has just been stolen, and you're about to enter hell on earth as someone else accesses your bank accounts and your credit cards and not only robs you blind, but leaves you with a whole pile of bills to pay. It's the most horrible thing ever. You know, and don't you just hate it when people lie to you, when you can't trust them? It's just the worst. It's so evil. And we see it all around us, but you know, what we see with our eyes in this world is just a symptom of what's really going on in the spiritual realm. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the reality of a very real spiritual enemy. Now, I don't know about your background or what you may have been taught or what you think about all this, but here's what the Bible teaches, that there is a very real enemy of our souls, and he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of our loved ones. And I'm talking about the devil and that he is, yes, very, very real. And I'm also talking about that the fact that there's a real spiritual war going on, that he is waging against us, a war that we're involved in whether we want to be or not. How many know that's the truth? How many? Yeah, it's just all over the place. But I got to say this, that we as Christians, we don't need to go around fearing this devil, okay? The Bible makes it very plain that greater is he who is in you, Jesus, than he who is in the world, the devil, right? The Bible also tells us that Jesus on his cross and through his resurrection completely defeated this enemy. But even though he's defeated, for some reason, the enemy is still around for a while, and he's working so hard to do all the damage he can while he's here. And you know what else he's desperately trying to do? He's desperately trying to get us to forget that he's already defeated. And we do all the time, right? He's pretty good at that. But we can't let him get away with that anymore. But so see, we don't have to fear this devil, but we do have to be aware of his schemes and his tactics, because otherwise we're going to get continually blindsided by his tricks, and we're going to continually be falling into his little traps, which is what some of us do from time to time, right? No more. We got to put a stop to it. So what can we do about this devil? What do we need to know about him in order to do something? Well, here's what the Bible has to say about him, and it's the first verse in your notes there. I'd like you to read it along with me under number 1. Ready? Go. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. Yeah, that's the truth. Even though he's a liar. Yeah. And you know what the Bible says that is hugely significant? It's the next scripture under there. Would you read that one with me? Ready? Go. We know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Whoa. You know what that's saying? It's saying that this world and its operating system are still under the control of the evil one, who's a liar and the father of lies. Oh, that is why lies and deception are so popular these days. That's why the world is in the state that it's in. That's why people can be the way they are. And that's why there are so many atrocities and horrors that can happen in this world. But here's our problem, because we still live here, right in the midst of that. We live in a situation where the enemy still has a large amount of control and where we will get bombarded by his lies all the time. How many know that happens to us all the time? We get it from all sides, right? All the media from TV and radio and movies, videos, books, magazines, all kinds of advertising. You know, my wife and I, we don't watch a whole lot of TV. But when we do watch TV, it's usually late at night as we're trying to wind down. And there's something about the advertising after 10 p.m. It's like they save all these commercials for after 10 p.m., you know, like about diseases you've never heard of before that you might just have, like RLS, restless leg syndrome. You ever heard of that? Man, I can be lying there watching TV still as a stone, and then this commercial for restless leg syndrome comes on, and my whole lower body just starts going, whoa, you know? And then this fear strikes me, ooh, I might have restless leg syndrome, you know? I didn't have it before the commercial, but I sure do have it now. And anybody know what I'm talking about? And the devil loves to plant seeds of fear in you, and you worry about, oh, maybe I have this disease, or other advertising says you're not good looking enough, so you need this product. I don't measure up, so I need to go to this health club or something. And it's just, you hear these lies all the time. You also hear them from family and friends and teachers and coaches and your peers. Just maybe they're well-meaning, but you know, you knucklehead, can't you do anything right? And it, you know what happens with these lies? If we're not careful, the continual lies begin to get into us. They begin to work inside of us, and they can actually begin to tamper with our identity, you know, how we view ourselves. I became a Christian when I was 26 years old. And what that means is, for the first 26 years of my life, I grew up unprotected in that whole world of lies. I had no idea what the truth was. How did I come out of that? I came out of that with very, very low self-esteem and a whole bunch of insecurities. You know, I felt worthless and useless. My parents were real busy people, and they had little or no time for me, you know, and I didn't have a lot of other great skills. I wasn't a great athlete. No, nobody was really telling me I was any good about anything. And so I began to buy into the lies of the devil about my value, and it wasn't very high. And what that led to in my high school and young adult years is I began to buy into other lies. Lies that said, well, you can make up for that. You can find what you're lacking maybe in relationship with girls, in playing music and rock and roll, and in doing drugs and alcohol, and is trying to escape in that way. And praise God that I didn't destroy myself during that time. And praise God that I did find Jesus at age 26 and finally be able to discover what truth was and how what a difference that could make in your life. You know, praise God for that. But now, as I'm a lot older and I've been a pastor for about 20 years, you know what I see? I see that same pattern of the effects of the lies of the devil all over people, pushing them down, holding them down, keeping them from coming to the destiny that God designed them for from the very beginning. And it makes me so angry. And I'm saying today we're going to do something about that. Amen? So praise God for our Jesus who has already defeated this enemy. But you know what? Yes, we're Christians, but because we still live in this world and because we're still constantly bombarded with those lies, even when we're Christian, they still affect us, don't they? You know, if somebody comes along and says something really negative about you, even if it's not true, it affects you, doesn't it? It eats you up. And then there's those thoughts that kind of drop into our minds, just seemingly out of the blue. I'm ugly. I'm dumb. You know, I can't measure up. I'm not as good as them. I'll never change. You know what I'm talking about? And those thoughts, even though they are lies, they affect us. They affect us deeply. And they affect the way that we think and the way that we feel. And they even affect the choices that we make for the rest of our lives. Oh, I can't choose that because only really smart people could do that. Or only really gifted people. I could never do that. And it affects the rest of our lives. Because what happens when we hear those lies enough? We come to the place where we actually begin to believe them. And even though they're lies, it doesn't matter because they will become our reality. And they'll become where we live and where we are imprisoned until we find God's way out. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to find God's way out. So how do we deal with that continual influx of the lies of the enemy? Well, I want to look at a Bible passage today about Jesus and how he went through a time of testing and victory in this very area, coming face to face with the devil and his lies. You know, I believe he faced this for us so that we could get a living example of how we can overcome this very persistent enemy who always wants to take us down. Now, I've got a lot of scripture. I really want to dig into the word on this, and I couldn't fit it all in your notes, so I'm going to ask you to direct your attention to the screen, and we're going to put up some of these scriptures. I'd like you to look at Matthew 4, verse 1 with me, and I'd like you all to read this together. Are you ready? Go. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Is that not an odd scripture, you know? This happened right after Jesus' baptism, right at the beginning of his earthly ministry. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the devil led Jesus into the desert, into a dry, yucky place. Why? To be tempted by the devil, no less. What's that about? Well, it's like this was a scheduled event in Jesus' life. It was like this was part of his training program. And you know what I get from that? It's like God is telling us here that each one of us need to learn to deal with this enemy right at the beginning of our walk. As soon as we can learn, we should, because we will pay for what we don't know. The enemy will mess with us as long as we let him, right? Okay, so let's see how the enemy came against Jesus. Look up at the screen and I'll read this one for you. Matthew 4, verse 2. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Hey, you would be too, right? 40 days and 40 nights. And let me tell you, this was no sissy fast where he was drinking, you know, fruit juice all day. I actually had a friend in Youth with a Mission, and he told everybody, "I'm going to go on a 40-day liquid fast." And everybody goes, "Whoa, he is so spiritual." And what he did is he went out and he bought this big blender, and he was throwing things like steaks and potatoes and all these vegetables in there and mixing it up. And, you know, "I'm on a 40-day liquid fast." And it's like, dude, that's not a fast. That's regular food for people with no teeth, you know? But Jesus had no blender out in the desert. He was out there with maybe just a little bit of water, and that was it. A real deal hardcore fast for 40 days. And at the end of 40 days, his body was beginning to consume itself. He needed food, and he needed it fast. Would you look again at the screen? Matthew 4, verse 3. It says, "The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" First thing the enemy does, he challenges him at his pride, because that's the enemy's own weakness. So he tried that on Jesus. He said, "If you're the Son of God, prove it. Do something really cool." But then he came and tempted Jesus right at the point of his greatest need at that moment, which is what the enemy will do to you. He says, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become fresh, hot, right out of the oven, molokai bread." Because that's the best, right? Devil knows that. He also might have said, "And while you're at it, command these little stones to become pats of butter, because, ooh, that on hot bread, oh, so good. And you know what? You deserve it, because you got to be so hungry after this very impressive fast that you've gone through. But enough is enough. Come on, Jesus. Why don't you eat?" And that's what the enemy is doing. But you know what he's really saying behind it, what the lie is? He's saying this lie, and he tells it to us all the time, that you need to satisfy your flesh. And you need to do it when? Now. Right now. And let me tell you, family, this lie doesn't just apply to eating. This applies to every area of our flesh. The enemy is continually lying to us and saying, your focus needs to be yourself and your comfort. Are you hungry? Then eat right now. It doesn't matter if it's rude or if there's not enough for everybody. You eat because you're hungry. Or are you tired and overwhelmed? Well, you got to take care of yourself. You know, don't worry about the people you're committed to. Don't worry about the fact they're counting on you. Don't even worry that God told you to do something. It's okay. Just pull back, rest, kick back, relax. You deserve it. Or are you discouraged? Are you tired of the hassles in ministry or maybe the hassles in your marriage? Well, by all means, quit, pull back, isolate yourself because it's been so hard for you. And what do they really expect anyway? No, take care of yourself. You deserve it. And the enemy goes on. What about lust? You know, God put that into you. That's a natural feeling and desire. You need to satisfy it. You need to do what your flesh feels like doing because you deserve it. Hey, family, is something this starting to hit home a little bit? You know, the enemy uses these lies on us all the time. Would you fill in that first bullet under the enemy's favorite lies? And it's this: you need to satisfy your flesh now. I did it again, didn't I? I forgot number one. Okay. I'll tell you number one, and if the PowerPoint people can find it again, bless their hearts. Here we go. Number one in your notes, we are in a spiritual war with an enemy who is always trying to control us with his lies. Thank you, PowerPoint people. I love you. But one of his favorite lies is you need to satisfy your flesh now. You know what the second lie is? Here we go. The next slide, the devil took him. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple, which, by the way, is about 100 feet above the pavement below. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to lift you up in their arms, lest you strike your foot against a stone." What's the lie here? First of all, how many know that the devil knows Scripture? And he just threw it at Jesus. The word says it is written that these angels will lift you up and so you don't strike your foot against a stone. Yeah, the devil knows Scripture, but the way he uses it is so wrong. Because what he does, he takes little bits of it out of context, and then he twists the meaning in the heart of it, and he uses it in a way that God never intended. And let me tell you, he loves to do that, especially when it will help you justify your sinning. Yeah, he really is. Anybody ever notice that? Anybody ever tell you a bit of a scripture that was going to justify them for doing something really, really wrong? I've seen it a lot. I've even probably done it, but that was a long time ago, okay? But he loves to do that. And that's why it's so important for us to know the Word of God and to know God so that we don't get fooled by that kind of stuff. But here's the lie. The devil's really saying, you can go ahead and pretty much do anything you want. It doesn't matter what kind of dumb, foolish things you do. God's going to take care of you. And he says to us, you can go ahead and choose to continue in sin. It's okay, because God loves you. And hey, the Word of God says he promises to forgive you every time you confess. So go ahead. See how much you can get away with. It's okay. You know what? Millions of Christians live according to that lie. It's all about how much compromise can I get away with and still get into heaven when I die, you know? And here's the bottom line, family. Yes, God has amazing grace, mercy, and pretty much unlimited forgiveness for you. But when you choose to continue in sin, even if you're forgiven, you're going to have to reap the consequences of your sin. That's just a fact. You will reap the spiritual death and separation from God's fellowship. You will live outside of God's blessing and protection. And because of that, you may even find yourself in bondage because you've opened the door to the enemy and given him access into your life. It's not a good place to be. Would you fill in that second bullet under the enemy's favorite lies? You can do anything you want. God will understand and won't let anything bad happen to you. That is such a lie. But let's move on to the third lie. Ready? Matthew 4:8, and let's read this one together. Ready? Go. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And all this, and he said to him, ready? Go. All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. What's the lie here? You know what the enemy's saying to Jesus? He's saying, yeah, God has a plan for you. I know you came so that you could become ruler of all the kingdoms. That's God's plan, but check out my plan, because I think my plan might be a little better for you. It's easier because, you know, you don't have to suffer and die. And it's faster because you can become the ruler of the world right now. All you got to do is try it my way. Let me tell you, family, that is a dangerous, dangerous lie. Last bullet under number one. Here's his favorite lie. There's another way that is faster and easier and better than God's way. Faster, easier, and better. And you know what? The enemy uses that lie all the time. The world lives according to that lie. And the enemy wants you and I to live according to it too. So those are three of the devil's very, very favorite lies. They're the ones he tried against Jesus, so you can be pretty sure he's going to try them against you too. But the question is, how do we fight against them? How do we win? Well, let's find out by looking at what Jesus did in each situation. Remember the one where the tempter came to him and said, command these stones to become bread? You know, satisfy your flesh now? Well, let's look at Matthew 4:7 and see what Jesus said. Right up here, it's going to come up right now. Let's read this together. Wait, that's not what he said. I'm sorry, I did the wrong one. Matthew 4:4. Okay, ready, go. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. All right, so what did Jesus do? He spoke, and what did he say? It is written, and then he simply countered the lie by stating the truth. He spoke from the Word of God. Listen to me, family. To defeat the lie of the flesh and to overcome the bondages you might have concerning the flesh, the Word of God is your answer. It really is. Now, I remember a while back when I was a Foursquare pastor, but I wasn't part of New Hope yet. I was pastoring another church, but we had become Foursquare. We were having this monthly pastor's meeting, and our regional director was there. I'm trying to think of his name. It's escaped me right now, but I think you might know it. What was it? Oh, yeah. Wayne Cordero. How quickly we forget when he's away. No, but he came and he said something so profound. He said that when you make a priority of getting the Word of God into your life, it will actually raise the tide of your spirit. Now, what's that talking about? Well, let us look. Pretend this is the ocean of life, okay? And in the ocean of life, there are all kinds of obstacles, trials, and tragedies, and circumstances that come up that are so huge you don't think you can ever get past them. There's all these temptations and all things that come up that just sort of block your way in life. And if your tide is low as you are paddling your canoe through life, as you're going along and your tide is low, you're going to run into these things and they will stop you cold. You can never get past the circumstances and the obstacles and temptations because your tide is low. And you know what? Not only will they stop you, they can actually do grave damage to you in the process. But if you fill yourself with the Word of God and renew your mind and your heart in the Word, it's like the tide rises in your spirit, the tide of strength and spiritual power and life and the ability to overcome. And so those things, they're still there. Those things that would have stopped you cold before, you sail right over them without even a thought. You don't have to fight against them. You don't have to struggle against them. God raises you to a whole new level, and those things are just not an issue anymore. Isn't that cool? You can go back and forth and back and forth, and no problem. And you can say, no, devil, I don't need to satisfy my flesh because that's not where I get my power to live. I get my power to live from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen? Amen. So the first lie defeated. How? By the Word of God. So here comes the second lie. Remember when the enemy said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down because the Word says, angels will catch you. It'll be so cool. People will be so impressed by that, you know? But how did Jesus respond? Let's look at Matthew 4:7, this time on the screen. It says, right here, ready, go. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Yeah. Jesus is saying, no, look, we're not supposed to be doing foolish and wrong things just to test God's limits of his love and care and forgiveness. That's not loving the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The word says if we love him, we will obey him. Not try to see how much we can get away with. We need to keep growing in obedience because that's where the power is, not to test God. And so the second lie is shot down and destroyed. How? Again, by speaking the word of God. And let's look at that third and final lie, the one we may have to deal with the most. It's where the devil took him up to the high mountain, showed him all the kingdom, said, I'll give it all to you. You can be ruler of the world if you fall down and worship me. Here's a better plan for you, Jesus, than God's. And how did Jesus respond? Look up on the screen one more time and read this with me. Matthew 4:10. Read it in your most loud and authoritative voice. Ready? Go. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. Worship, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Yeah, he said, get out of here, enemy. I'm not going to play your games anymore. I belong to the Father. I am totally committed to him. I will worship only him and serve him only. And you know what it says after that? It says the devil left him. The devil was done. He don't like getting beat three times in a row. So he just took off and he left him alone. You know what we can learn from these things? That with each and every lie the enemy tried to use against Jesus, each time he countered it, he defused it, he defeated it with the word of God. So number two in your notes, we defeat every lie of the devil Jesus' way by knowing and believing and speaking forth the word of God. We got to know it, we got to believe it, and when we speak it forth, it's going to defeat the lies of the enemy. That's the key for us, family. It's essential that we learn to use the power of God's word to overcome the continual attacks of the enemy in our face all the time. But you know what else it will do? We can also bring transformation and healing to the damage that has been done from the lies of the past. And how many know some of those past ones have done some damage in us? God's word is the key to the healing there. I want you to read another scripture that's in your notes under number two. That first one there from 2 Corinthians. Are you ready? Go. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I love this scripture because you know what it's saying? It's saying the weapons that we Christians fight with, they're not like the world's weapons, not like machine guns and bazookas and, you know, fighter planes and atomic bombs. No, our weapons have some real power. That's what I'm saying. I love that. Real, divine, supernatural power. So much power that it can actually tear down the strongholds of the enemy. It can actually destroy every argument he comes up, every pretension or every lie that he comes up with. And we take that word of God and we also use it to filter our thoughts so that we make sure every thought that goes on in this head lines up with here. And when you're doing that, you are going to walk in a measure of victory and power and might that is unsurpassed. That's what God designed you for. Let's look at that next scripture under number two from John 8. Would you read that with me? Ready? Go. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's three steps in here that we would do well to follow. And the first is you continue in his word. How do you do that? Every day. Every day. You need to eat food every day for your physical health, right? Well, you need to eat from the word every day for your spiritual health. Your daily devotions are essential in this battle against the enemy of your souls and against his continual lies. How many know that the enemy doesn't take a day off? He's a workaholic. He does not take a day off. You know, you go on vacation, he follows you. He's working. Always hitting you with those continual lies. Why do we think we can take days off from the word and not fall prey to those lies that don't stop. Because when we stop getting into the Word, what happens? Our tide drops. And then we'll find ourselves banging into those things in life again. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we have all been there. Yeah. So we need to continue in His Word continually. And then we will know the truth. And you know what? When you know the truth, you're going to be able to spot the lies really, really easily. You'll be able to spot them like that. You know how they train bank tellers to find counterfeit $100 bills? Which, by the way, is the most popular bill to counterfeit. Here's what they don't do. They don't teach them about counterfeiting. And they don't show them a bunch of examples of counterfeit $100 bills. No, what they do is they tell their tellers to study and to handle and to learn everything about the real $100 bill. Because when you know everything about the real thing, then it becomes very easy to spot what isn't real, what is false. And it's the same is true with us. When we know the truth, then we're going to be able to spot the lies very, very easily. And thirdly, once you know the truth, then that truth is going to begin to set you free. The power of God's Word is going to set you free from the powers of the lies of the enemy, both past and present, and will even set you up for victory over those lies that are coming down in the future. So how does this really work out? How does it really work out in our lives? Well, first, you spend your daily time with God in His Word, and you know what? He loads your spirit with divinely powerful weapons as you do. Ephesians 6 talks about this spiritual war that we're in. It says that it's not against people. It's not against you and me. It's not against your spouse. It's against the spiritual forces in the dark places. And then Ephesians 6 goes on to talk about the armor of God, which I don't have time to touch on that right now. But suffice it to say that every piece of that armor has something to do with the Word of God. So if you're in the Word every day, you're doing pretty good. But there is a scripture right down at the end of that, Ephesians 6:17, that wraps it up. And I want us to read it together. It's going to come up on the screen here. Ephesians 6:17. Are you ready? Say this in a very loud voice. Ready? Go. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do you fight a spiritual battle against a spiritual enemy whose main weapons is lies and deception? You take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you got to know something, family, that this Bible is not the sword of the Spirit. This is your arsenal where you get your weapons from. And we need to go there every day and get and load up on our weapons. Because, well, you know what? You know what the sword of the Spirit really is? It's the Word of God that's inside you, that you put there through your daily time of being in this Word. And that the Holy Spirit will bring up into your memory as you stand up to fight against the lies of the devil. And you use that just like Jesus did against the enemy. And I don't know, you might feel like, oh, that's so silly. What can just speaking some scripture do, you know? But according to the Word of God, God tells us that the sword of the Spirit is a divinely powerful weapon given to us straight from the hand of God, and that it is a mighty weapon able to actually tear down every stronghold and every hiding place and every fortress of the enemy. The sword of the Spirit is incredibly mighty. Would you like a demonstration? I have one more visual aid. Would you like to see it?
Bring forth the sword.
Behold, the sword of the Spirit. Why a samurai sword, you ask? Because I think they're really cool. I mean, I really do. I like all swords, though. I like those English broadswords, you know, the Lord of the Ring kind of swords, those big old heavy things, you know. But I learned something very interesting about swords. Like when they make the English broadsword, here's how they do it. They take the best ingredients they can find for steel, they melt it down into a liquid, they pour it into a blade-shaped mold, they let it cool and harden, then they take that blade, put it on a hilt, and they sharpen it, and they polish it, and they make it into a really beautiful sword. Very heavy, can just cut all kinds of things to pieces, you know, great sword. But you know what the Japanese people figured out? Clever as they are. They figured out something entirely different. They figured out that if you take all the great ingredients to make steel and you melt it down, but you don't pour it into a mold, you pound it into a really big flat sheet of metal and pound it really thin. And then you take that metal and you heat it and you fold it over in half and then pound it really flat again. And then you heat it and you fold it in half again and you pound it flat again. And you do that again and again, like about 400 times. And what you get finally when you've sharpened and polished it is a blade that is so hard, maybe 400 times harder than the blade of an English broadsword, and sharper. And it's said that the blade of a samurai sword at enough force could actually cut the blade right off an English broadsword. Just cut right through it. So are you ready to do some battle? So here comes the enemy with his scary English broadsword of a lie. And he says this: you need to satisfy your flesh now with sex outside of marriage or with drugs and with alcohol, but you know you need to do it now because you know that's in you. And you know what you do? You draw the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you go, no, enemy, for it is written that man shall not live by that. It is written that sin shall not have dominion over me because I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace. It is written that the wages of sin is death, and I do not choose death. And you cut down that lie. And you know what the devil says? Whoops. And he runs home and gets another sword. And then he comes back. And what does he say to you? He says, go ahead and do that foolish sin. You know why? Because God will take care of you. God will forgive you. It'll be okay. And you know you want to do it. What you do is you pull out that sword of the Spirit and you said, no, devil, it is written that the wages of sin is death, and I don't choose death in my life. I choose life. I choose to obey the Lord my God. And you cut down that lie again with the sword of the Spirit. And you know what the devil says? Yikes. And runs home and gets his last good sword. And he comes back and says, I know you've been working so hard trying to follow God, but hey, you know, enough is enough. You need a little break, you know. Why don't you just try it a little bit easier way? I got an easier, faster, better way for you. And you pull out the sword of the Spirit and you say, no, devil, because it is written, I'm going to worship the Lord my God. I'm going to serve him only because he has a plan for me to prosper me and to give me a future and a hope. And I am going to follow my God and no one else. And you cut down that lie and you send the enemy packing with his broken little stub of a sword back away. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me tell you. It says in James chapter 4 that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And this is how you do it. With the word of God, the sword of the Spirit coming out of your mouth, you defeat every lie of the enemy. And you know what else? When trials come down the pike, you know, those impossible circumstances, you know, and you've got to do something and you know you can't do it, and the enemy is saying, you can never do that. You know what you do? You pull out your sword and you say, it is written, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you cut down that lie and send the devil away. And when financial troubles come down, maybe you lose your job and your rent is due or your house payment is due, and the devil says, you're going down this time, there's no hope for you. You pull out the sword of the Spirit and say, no, it is written, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And there's more. There's another cut. Because I am going to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to me. And you cut down that lie of the devil, and you look to God for your source, and you send the devil away. And you know what else? When those really, really unspeakable, ununderstandable things happen, those tragedies that can't be explained, like the cancer report you get, or the death of a child, what do? It may take a little more effort to pull that sword, but you pull that sword out and you say, no, I am not going to buy into that fear. I am not going to fall down at this point. Why? Because it is written that my God, I'm going to worship the Lord my God. I'm going to serve him only because he says that he works all things together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to purpose, and that includes me. And so get out of here, enemy, and you cut down every lie of the devil with the truth of the Word of God, with the sword of the Spirit coming right out of your mouth. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to have to give these back before I hurt myself. But that's it, family. It's time we stop letting a defeated enemy push us around. Amen? Aren't you tired of that? It's time to do something about it. So here's the deal. The enemy's weapon is a lie, and he's very good at it. But God says this to you today, that I have given you a greater weapon. My truth, my word, that will always defeat the lies of the enemy if, and here's the big if you remember to use it. Because that's our big problem, isn't it? We forget to use it. We got the sword of the Spirit. We're Christians. We have access to this weapon, but maybe it's in our trunk or in our closet at home or something, but we don't remember to use it. The devil knows we don't remember to use it, so that's why he keeps coming at us time and time and time again. But you start pulling that sword on that dude, and he's going to wise up really quick. And he's going to start getting defeated. And like I said, he doesn't like to get defeated. So he's going to start to go elsewhere to cause his trouble. Amen? God says, if you'll learn to use my weapon, you can protect your own life and, listen, the lives of your loved ones. So let's learn to draw the sword of the Spirit. And let's learn to defeat every lie with God's word and to bring forth his victory into our lives and into our families, our homes, our church, and our world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this incredible truth. We thank you for the fact that you never intended for us to be controlled and pushed around and beaten up by the enemy, who's a liar and the father of lies. Lord, we thank you for the goodness and the grace that you give to us, Lord, that you give us a weapon, and that you want us to rise up and become men and women of war, who are able to fight for our lives, our families, our friends. So we present ourselves to you right now, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to help us to learn to use this mighty weapon, to take it very seriously, to get into that word every day so that we will be well equipped. And then, Holy Spirit, help us to know when to draw that sword and help us to use it so that we use it effectively and powerfully and we no longer allow the enemy to control us. Oh God, let us rise up to a victory that will bring you incredible glory and that will bring your kingdom into power on this earth in greater and greater ways. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Before we go, I just want to ask this. There may be some of you here today who have never said yes to Jesus. But today, you know, I don't want to be caught up in any more lies. I want to know what the truth is. I want to find the source of truth, and I want to be set free from those lies, and I want to begin to live in what's true and real and right and powerful. If you want to learn how to grab a hold of the sword of the Spirit and find a brand new life in Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand today and say, yes, I want him. I need him. I know I need him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just raise your hand up and say, this is it. I really want to make this commitment here and now. Praise God. Family, would you join the rest of these? Would you rise up before God and pray this prayer on their behalf? Let's all do it together. Are you ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died for my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I give it to you. Forgive me all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cause me to be born again as your beloved child. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to live your will. Take control of my life and make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, would you thank God for all those who just raised their hand and entered in the kingdom of God? Hallelujah.